Hi everyone, before we start the podcast, I wanted to make a small message about production. This week I was really hyped to improve because my sound engineering friend gave me feedback on how to improve the sound quality between two guests when they're in person. There's at least two strategies for sound production, especially when you use a Blue Yeti microphone. However, this is a very low budget, like zero budget, totally volunteer process. And so I'm working my job and I'm also doing this as a passion project. And so I ask that you bear with me as I improve on video production, sound production, when I have the time. And I want to thank my guest today because she so graciously put up with me accidentally forgetting my dongle, which converts the sound. So we had to use less than ideal, crispy mic quality. However, the content is still really good. So please bear with us. I'll be adding to my checklist in the future when it comes to lighting, background, all the equipment that I'll need for recording. So please enjoy and look forward to improvements in quality. However, the content is always quality. Production, we're working on it. Thank you. Welcome to season 7 of the Erasing Shame podcast. I am your co-host, Victoria Chang, for the Erasing Shame episode 2. This season's focus is Christian Asian mental health. And today, my special guest is, can I call you by your first name?
Yes, absolutely.
Sarah Oh, that's her English name. And today's topic is emotions and processing, specifically as Asian Christian woman. And to start, I'd like to introduce Sarah and help people get to know her background a little bit. She is a very strong woman and a very interesting and capable and wise woman. And so please tell me or tell them a little bit about yourself.
Sure. In a nutshell, I came to the U.S. from South Korea at the age of 12 and went through school here, somehow got led and opened a door for me to enter pharmacy. So I became a pharmacist and I worked in the field for about 30 years. I have three grown children, they're in the 20s. And I suddenly found myself with an opportunity to enter seminary. So I just begun my second year and I'm hoping to pursue a degree in counseling. And I'm hoping that somehow helping people meet their physical needs and the spiritual needs kind of combine together, possibly in the future. But I'm also in what they call the sandwich generation. So I'm helping to take care of my elderly parents who are in the 80s and also supporting my adult children who are growing their wings right now.
quite a lot going on. And some of the ways that Sarah and I have connected is over mental health. Mm-hmm. I met Sarah as I was church hopping, and she was my small group leader at the time. And right off the bat, she wanted to include me in prayer. And she even wanted to attend one of the mental health talks that I was giving in Maryland. Like, I just met you, and you were already so willing to show up and support me, which meant a lot because not many people will make time, but it was important to you, and that meant a lot to me. And that week, I think you were helping your daughter.
Yes.
So you couldn't make it, but the fact that you were willing to go meant a lot, and I'm glad you were able to help your daughter.
Welcome.
Yeah. So thank you. So the reason why I picked Sarah for this topic is because of her background. As studying counseling, and also she's very familiar with neuroscience in some ways because of her pharmaceutical background. Sarah is aware that in December, my nai-nai, my paternal grandma, passed away, and that had a big effect on my family. My dad is the only son. So basically, the Chang dynasty is very small. And I didn't really know how to feel. I didn't know what to feel. I just kind of went into caretaker mode. Like, I see my family hurting, and so I want to be there for them. But it's only now in, what, March that I'm processing grief. And not necessarily grief at her being gone, because I know that she is at peace now by God's grace. But grief that her suffering and her leaving Earth has such a big impact on my grandpa. Like, he was a life partner. And my dad's mom. Yeah, but I don't want to talk too much about that, but that's kind of the context for why I wanted to talk about this, because I historically do not allow myself to feel until like months later. And then there are a lot of other events that were going on, whether it's in the world or in our personal lives, that affect. And so these emotions come out. So yeah, that's the background. But because you have been studying counseling, could you give us a general definition of emotions? Generally, what are emotions? Because there's a lot of psychological definition, biblical definition, personal, but just so we can discuss.
Sure. So from my pharmacist background, you know, you can simplify as saying when you have, and you kind of like say you ingest something, you have allergy to, your body reacts, right, by having allergic reactions. So emotions is similar, where given an event or episode or some kind of crisis, your spirit, your heart, your mind reacts in a certain way. And so it's not consistent between people. The degree is different and the timing is also different. You know, when you're talking about grieving from your grandma's passing away, everybody grieves different. Sometimes it breaks apart families because of they're unable to understand each other, how they are. And especially coming from the community or outside, it's a lot easier, for example, to pray for someone in a crisis, something short-lived. But for someone to kind of consistently, constantly, you know, reach in and check in, maybe say, you know, example of your grandfather, check in with him 3 months later, 1 year later, 2 years later, with the same, you know, care and devotion that you had when you first found out he was suffering, that's really hard. But that's when emotions go up and down all around. And so we need a lot of God's wisdom to know how to minister to one another in that way.
Yeah, because we get so tired or limited. I like what you said, though, about kind of the stimulus being like the environment, and then our reaction is kind of like, yeah, that's a new way of thinking about emotion that I didn't consider before. So that's actually really helpful. Do you find it easy to express your emotions?
I would probably generalize saying that I'm a very emotional person. I wear my emotions on my sleeve. So what you see is what you get, which I know sometimes it's detriment. I wish I had a thicker skin kind of thing, but I know especially at work, when I used to work as a pharmacist in the retail setting, I get really upset a lot because people get, you know, we're the first line agents that they get really upset about over, you know, things that bothers them, like money, finances, or insurance, doctors, and things like that. But I think it's how you view it too. So emotions, yes, they're God-given gifts, and yes, they are tainted, but we can't control necessarily what comes out of our hearts. And sometimes we can't even predict how we react to things, right?
Absolutely not.
I think oh, I'm going to be perfectly fine in this situation, or I'll be angry. But instead, maybe some other emotions come out, and you're like, where did this come from? What am I supposed to unearth, unpack from
this?
Yeah,
or why am I still feeling this way after I thought I got over it?
So I am still learning to navigate.
And has it been hard to be an emotional person around people who are not as emotional?
Yes. Definitely.
No brainer question.
And especially in a church setting, community setting, where you are supposed to be transparent, where you are supposed to show your weaknesses, and especially when you share prayer requests and things like that of that nature, my emotions come along with them. And I've been in situations where it was met with a lot of discomfort or unease kind of atmosphere. But at the end of the day, I think I'm learning that this is who God made me, and this is just who I am. And so I will try to be sensitive to your reaction and how you respond, but I am going to keep trying. If I end up crying over sharing something, I will keep doing it and be it.
Wow.
Because I'd rather be obedient to whatever God calls me to do and be at the time than, try to hide behind some kind of facade.
That's real. That hits. Would you say you were taught how to express your emotions by other people, being in a relationship with them, or how was it modeled for you as a kid, in Korea / being an immigrant?
So I went to school in Korea up until like fifth grade, and it's as what you've heard, how very just, grade driven, everybody's ranked all the time, you get a physical discipline if you didn't do things right. So I'm a left-handed, so that was a big taboo in Korea. I had all these homework, write 1,000 sentences with your right hand
for being left-handed.
Yep, because it's
kind of like that.
It's not the right-handed, so it's the wrong-handed kind of thing. I did the punishment, I followed through, but I still went to left-handed. So I don't think anybody necessarily modeled for me, but I just started becoming comfortable in my own skin, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. I think it takes a lot of courage to be yourself and to express your emotions. Mm-hmm. So many will view it as a weakness. Many will say, oh, you're so emotional, or women are so emotional.
Oh, I'll say, thank you.
Thanks. That's what I'm learning, that we should let it out versus what I normally do, which is suppress.
I think I mentioned to you how they have these studies of how children on a given day laugh and cry so many times, and then as people get older, like our facial expressions, we're like stoic.
Mm-hmm.
Did God make us to be statues when we're adults? No, he says to be like children, right? Who's full of emotions, expressions. If it hurts, say it hurts. If you're angry, say I'm angry.
Mm-hmm.
But don't hold it in and let no one come near you.
Wow. You're speaking truth. I couldn't help but think you said stoic, and stoicism, I'm not quite sure how to define exactly, but it's being more obedient to your thoughts than your feelings. It's kind of like you feel something, but you don't let it control how you act, which is not bad. However, a lot of therapy in the US has been influenced by Stoicism, where I was reading in the book The Garden Within by Dr. Anita Phillips, given to me by DJ Chong, my co-host, that the idea of keeping your feelings at bay and choosing to act like as an idealized self is not necessarily healthy. I don't know if I'm wording that in a way that's understandable, but oftentimes in church, I've heard faith over feelings. And there is a degree where you can't let your feelings control how you act, but you have to let yourself feel And the premise of the book, the thesis that Dr. Anita Phillips says, is that our heart is a garden, mm-hmm. and we water our hearts with God's word and with feelings. I'm kind of butchering the metaphor, but it's not just a metaphor. She actually has like evidence that's totally supported in a new way. But basically, it's faith and feelings, not one over the other, but together.
Yeah. And I'm definitely not saying that, you know, faith dictates what you do and what you say.
Mm.
It's just that they are part of how God has created mankind.
Mm.
And so obviously we need to filter our feelings through the lens of God.
Right? Absolutely.
So we have to, you know, ask for discernment and wisdom.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was actually thinking a little bit more about all the accounts in during Jesus' ministry on earth, all the narratives, a lot of times it talks about the negative feelings or the what we call negative feelings, like Jesus being angry,
mm-hmm.
or him weeping, mm-hmm. grieving.
Mm-hmm.
Why are those particular emotions, you know, narrated in the Bible? And it doesn't say where he was, you know, happy or ecstatic. It's the ones that we kind of relate to as negative or suppressed that's accounted in his ministry.
Mm.
I feel like there might be something to that where, you know, these are feelings that the so-called negative ones that we don't necessarily want to expose to others.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus says, here, I'm going to have it recorded so that I can relate to you.
Mm.
And there's some truth to that. So, yeah, I mean, obviously we can't just use our feelings as like the, you know, the tool.
The compass.
Yeah, or a tool to, you know, dictate how things go. But they're definitely a guide of mm-hmm. where our heart is. And mm-hmm. it's a reflection of where our heart is too.
Couldn't have said it better. Mm. Yeah. So for the sake of time, I think we could go even further. But I want to ask you, as a woman, do you feel like, as an Asian woman, especially in the U.S., do you feel like there's an expectation for you to behave a certain way, like express your emotions a certain way?
Oh, yeah. I've probably experienced that at work when I was working at a pharmacy.
Uh-huh.
'Cause everybody loves the, model minority.
Right.
One that works hard, mm-hmm. the one that comes first, mm-hmm. leaves later, whose efficiency is double or triple everybody else. But, you know, keeps their head down, doesn't cause trouble. And the moment you speak up, moment you say, this is not right, or you're willing to be like a whistleblower, for example. Mm. I ruffle some feathers through that way. And that's when, you know, the way they look at you changes, like, she's a troublemaker.
Yeah, or something's wrong.
But when I see wrong being done to other people, or when, especially when patients' health is involved, there's no compromise, something like that. So I have spoken up and I have, you know, had people go, she's not the model minority after all. But that's okay.
That is okay. I like that, honestly. I like proving people wrong.
And I think it's helpful that I'm not an ambitious person, so I don't necessarily care to move up the ladder, so I don't have to kiss people's behind. Mm-hmm. So that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I burn the appropriate bridges and keep the correct ones.
Wow. Wow. You have like, people would describe it maybe as like fiery, right? But I think it's courage to do the right thing. I have also ruffled some feathers.
But the thing is, though, when you're consistent in that way, you know, speaking up for people that mm-hmm. maybe do not have a voice or seeing the wrong that you need to correct,
mm-hmm.
when you're consistently being like that, even people in the periphery, they see. And so, say down the road, some things happen, they will speak up for you. And I have seen that happen too, where they're like, Sarah will never do that. This is her.
Mm-hmm.
So they vouch for me in that way. So that comes around.
Yeah, that's a good reminder. Like
people will perceive you however they want, but your character speaks for itself.
Right.
And obviously, we're not trying to call people out saying, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, like, cancel you. But we want to hold people accountable for especially, like, illegal things. just barely scratch the surface. And even things that go against, like, our call as Christ followers, right? One of the verses that came into my mind as I was raging about some of my past church hurt is Micah 6:8. It talks about doing justice, but, like, God's justice, not our justice, which is interesting because, you know, like, only God can model that. We don't really understand it.
You know, and it also includes mercy.
Yes. Yes. So. I was going to get to that. Yes. Yeah. Mercy. And also, importantly, walking humbly with God. I think that comes first. So hard.
Yeah.
Because I'm so quick to be like, this person hurt me and they did this and blah, 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 blah. But God is like, no, look at me. Yeah.
Yeah. When I was going through the stressful situation with my elderly dad, who has onsets of, or even middle stages of dementia, and I'm trying to, you know, take strong, progressive actions towards him, God kept speaking through scripture every morning that I need to have a humble attitude before I begin anything, that I have no pedestal to climb up to look down upon my dad, but see things, do things, be wise about how I approach out of humility before God, because he is still my father, and to, you know, show my respect and just keep his dignity intact in the meanwhile. So that has been a good reminder.
Seeing his dignity as a person.
Yes.
That's very important. And it's so hard when you see things that don't sit right. But then it's like, okay, let's look at ourselves. In God's eyes, right? We're all broken, separate from him, and do things that hurt him.
Yeah.
Yet,
yeah,
he models love so perfectly.
Right.
Tough lessons. Okay, I think we're running pretty short on time because I would just love to keep talking. I think we have a lot of interesting things to say. But if you could maybe, I'm not going to rush you, but just want you to maybe give me insight, if you can, on how to take care of other people when you yourself are feeling like you can't even take care of yourself. Yeah. Because we have responsibilities. We're set in family units. We're set at work. We have spheres of influence. We take on responsibilities. How do you extend care to other people when you're struggling yourself in your own life?
Well, so each of us have, you know, the makeup of however God created us, right? So, and each of us have, I'm just learning this from one of my classes, what we call our individual manna. So something that that brings, like, just a small delight, something that kind of draws us closer to God. And obviously, like, God's word is definitely one of them, but even simple, small things like something, you know, hobbies that you enjoy. So at the end of the day, just make sure you have time for yourself to do those things. So sometimes for me, it's like going out for walks or listening to really just really rich narrative of words from music.
Yes.
Sometimes it's baking because I feel like it taps into my creativity. And I heard this little analogy where it says, you know, if you go a day without spending time in God's word, you know. Only you know. If you skip a few days or maybe a week not in God's word, maybe your family will know.
Oh.
And then if you keep that habitually going on, then yeah, then they will know. Hopefully it matters where you do believe in your, you know, heart of hearts that God's word has that power to change you and transform you and dictate how you live your everyday life. And if you hold on to that, make sure you come back. Yeah, I'm a little concerned when people say like, oh, I serve A to Z, but I don't have time for a quiet time. Oh, burnout right around the corner. Okay.
You are saying things that I can only agree with, that I've only seen when ministry becomes your God. Yeah, it hurts yourself and other people.
Yeah, you have to always be ready to say, God, you want to take it all? Okay, that's good, because all I need is Jesus,
right? Wow, that's so hard to believe, but yeah, that is the calling of a lifetime, and it's worth it. I believe it is worth it. We know it is worth it. We try to believe every day.
Yeah,
okay. Well, I have so many more thoughts, but I already forgot them all. ADHD. But thank you so much for your words, for your time, for your openness, for your heart and experience that you're willing to share with us.
Can I say one real quick thing?
Absolutely.
So I guess it's for those of listeners who maybe struggle with just overabundance of emotions. Mm. Maybe they've been kind of told to suppress it or keep it to yourself or keep a tighter rein. Don't be shunned by your emotions. They're okay. Accept them and process them, and find a community where you can express and where they are accepted, and where you are loved just as you are.
Yeah. I should have asked you if you had anything else to say, but thank you for saying it. One thing I'm also learning is to like let go of the emotions that hold you in resentment and bitterness. Doesn't get you anywhere.
Yeah, sometimes it could easily turn into another idol that you can't let go.
Yeah, I have a line in my poem that says, sometimes hurt is the bigger God that I bow down to. Yeah.
Very true.
Okay. Thank you everyone for listening, for tuning in. I think we went a little bit long. I wasn't really keeping track of time because I know that what we have to say is valuable. And if people want to listen, they can listen.
You should get edit me out. That's
No. I can edit myself. No, it takes two. And I think that it's just a blessing to have a conversation with you too. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you for inviting me here.
Thank you for being here and for letting me fumble my way through sound production. All right.
Thank you for listening to the Erasing Shame podcast. Get this episode's show notes at our website, erasingshame.com. Subscribe to the Erasing Shame podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or any podcast app. And please add a rating and review so that we can reach more people with our message of hope and healing.